Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this ninth day of October 2017. We are going to be talking about a very important issue today. It's an issue that I've never discussed on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to do so. We have two guests today. We have both Michelle Rickett, who is president and founder of She Is Safe, and we also have K. Marshall Strom, author, scriptwriter for TV and films, journalist for various magazines and newspaper op-eds, conference speaker, and co-author with Michelle Rickett of Forgotten Girls, Stories of Hope and Courage. Today we are going to be discussing women and girls globally used by God amid deep pain and suffering. We're also going to be announcing the She Soars Women Conference at the Mount Zion Baptist Church of Jonesboro, Georgia. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you both for the first time ever, Michelle Rickett and K. Marshall Strom.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you both on. And introducing to you also is my co-host, the Reverend Buzz Taylor.
And it's good to be on the air with you.
If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Michelle Rickett and K. Marshall Strom, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N @gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Please only remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter over which you are asking. And first of all, Michelle, you are president and founder, as I already mentioned, of She Is Safe. If you could please explain to our listeners exactly what She Is Safe is.
Yes, thank you. She Is Safe is a Christ-centered organization that works to prevent, rescue, and restore women and girls from abuse and slavery, and then equip them to build whole new lives of freedom and faith for a stronger future for the next generation of girls.
And what specifically, when you say from slavery and so on, what specifically are some of the details involving that and also some of the geographic areas where you're doing this?
Well, the abuse and slavery issue I became aware of. My husband and I were in missionary service. We lived in East Africa, and I learned about girl selling. It was mid-80s, and so there wasn't much information around the cause of modern-day slavery or global human trafficking or injustices against women and girls. And the more I began to look into it, the more I realized this was pervasive throughout the least reached world. Those places that do not have a strong gospel presence are much more likely through their social norms to abuse and sell women and girls. So if you had a map in front of you that showed all the places least reached with the gospel, you could overlay that map with the map of trafficking in persons. So human trafficking, of course, happens everywhere in the world to a greater or lesser degree, but those busiest human trafficking corridors in the world are mostly throughout Asia. We're talking about North India, Nepal, Bangladesh, up into China. So of the 30 to 45 million slaves in the world today, about 80% are female, unless you're talking about sex slavery, and that's 98% female. So wherever in the world my husband and I went in our service, we saw this terrible evil perpetrated against women and girls and thought, you know, Christ has a much better plan for these girls. Let's see what we can do to work with the indigenous church and local Christian women who have transcended these abuses so that we could actually do the smart work of preventing as many girls as possible from falling prey to these traffickers. And those that we could to rescue them out of red light districts, brothel communities, garbage dumps, refugee camps, and get them into some kind of vocational training and introduce them to Christ so that they could build a whole and beautiful life that God would love for them to have.
And Kay Marshall Strom, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, by the way.
Strom, that's correct.
Okay. How did you come to get to know Michelle Rickett, and how did you both begin to work together on this book that we are discussing today, Forgotten Girls, Stories of Hope and Courage?
Well, actually, I first started working with her husband on doing some editing on a book that he was writing. Then I went to a conference with Michelle, and we saw that in so many ways our hearts were bent the same way. I had been wanting to write a book about the women and the girls in the least reached areas, but the publishers I went with and the editors I had been working with said, oh, no one will read it. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody in America cares about people outside our own borders. And Michelle and I both knew that wasn't true. We both knew that people did care. They just didn't know what was happening, and they didn't know what they could do to help. So Forgotten Girls is actually the second book that we did together. The first one was Daughters of Hope. And we've done a lot of traveling together. We've done a lot of speaking together. And we have just had a great time learning and sharing with others.
Now, you have quite an interesting background, being a scriptwriter for TV and films and a journalist. Did this begin before your life as a Christian, or when did you develop these skills and also this career?
No, I actually started writing. I have been in a Christian family. I was raised in a Christian family, and I have been a Christian for most of my life. The interesting thing about working in TV and movies, I discovered quite a while ago, is that you can say things and sneak things in about faith and about what it means to be a true believer, and it's accepted a surprising amount of time. And so that's what I enjoyed doing. There are a lot of believers who are working in the film industry, and we miss that because of what the themes are in so many movies. But it is just a wonderful thing to see how people can be touched with the gospel through popular movies and TV shows.
Yeah, great. Well, the actual book that you both cooperated on, Forgotten Girls, Stories of Hope and Courage, Michelle, perhaps you could tell us what the catalyst was for writing this book to begin with, and tell us some of the stories about the women and girls in this book.
Well, yes, the catalyst for me was... you know, I thought I prepared very well to work internationally, and I was shocked at the information I was gaining about the depth of abuse of women and girls. You know, human trafficking is kind of the cause du jour out there in the world, but to the millions upon millions of girls who are enslaved, this is really just the last stop on a long series of abuses. And I felt that that story really needed to be told, and I was telling it as a speaker. When I was blessed to meet Kay and sharing some of the stories with her, and she said, well, this really should be in a book. And she counseled me, a book can go places that you cannot go. It will do so much and be an ambassador for what's on your heart. So, and then, of course, the wonderful process of researching and writing a book, you learn so much. You have a lot of focus when you have two people who are focusing on the same issue. We learned some pretty staggering things. One is there are 200 million girls missing on the face of the earth today. They should be walking the earth. They have been murdered simply for being girls through sex selective abortion, mostly in India and China. And then for poor families who can't afford to find out the sex of the baby before it's born, they'll just wait until she is born and then strangle, starve, bury this child alive. This is the largest genocide in all of human history. And it has become a driver of many social evils, including the trafficking of girls. Because when there's a shortage of girls like this, people will pay money to get a girl in their family. Right now, 52 million girls have been forced to marry as children. 14 million girls give birth every year. And the number one killer of girls is suicide. So we could roll out statistics all day long, but sometimes it's better just to tell about one girl who's a very common story that we hear again and again. And Forgotten Girls is the story of a girl named Nima. She was 5 years old when she knew her life would be snuffed out if she stayed where she was. Her father was very poor. Her mother had run away, and she said, we didn't even have a chicken, which meant no protein for anyone. And in his frustration, he beat her and her little sister, who was 3 years old. And so one night, they quietly waited for him to fall asleep, and Nima grabbed her sister, put her hand over her mouth, and said, you need to run with me so we can be safe. They ran into a forest where they found a large tree that was hollowed out, and they dug it out, and that became their little home. And Nima would go into a nearby city and beg for food for her little sister and a little milk or steal if she had to. And she wanted, her plan as a five-year-old was to live that way. But in the rainy season, bugs came out and began to eat her sister's legs, and they swelled up. So Nima carried her sister back into town and found a woman on the street and asked her to take them in. She would be a housekeeper, anything that the woman wanted. That woman took her little sister, and Nima said that's the last she ever saw of her sister, was this woman carrying her away and just shouting over her shoulder, you would be a burden to me. And so Nima stole. She worked all kinds of little jobs. She went to work in a hotel, and eventually the owners rented her out to men who came in, and she became a prostitute. By the time we met her, she was one broken-down woman, and yet in the process of healing had come to Christ and said, you know, what I want to do for the rest of my life is go to girls who are in the situation like I am and help them get free and have a different kind of life, the kinds of opportunities that I've had. So we could tell story after story after story that sounds exactly like that. But thankfully, we're able to visit about a dozen countries and interview scores of girls to get those few stories that really tell it well, so that we, Christians especially, we can sink our roots down deeply and understand how these things happen for girls, and in that process, learn some of the best, most strategic interventions and gain some great long-term partnerships along the way.
And why is it? Now, I'm assuming that that young lady that you were talking about, that she fled with her sister because she was certain her father would murder them? Is that what you meant by that?
Yes, that's right. They were being beaten, and she was very afraid that he was going to go too far one day, and neither of them would survive.
Wow. Now, why is it that parents in these countries view their daughters as more expendable than their sons?
Well, there is a godless view of women and girls in the developing world. It's only where Christ goes that women and girls are lifted and seen as image bearers, as our little boys are, little girls as well. So that's why the United States, though, you know, terrible things do happen in our country to a much lesser degree, we are a very low-risk country. We work in some villages in Nepal where every single girl who turns 13 is sold into the massive brothels of India. So this low opinion, this godless view of women and girls persists everywhere where Christ is not named. And so what it requires, you know, is an intervention from God to begin to infuse into the lives of women, girls, and families, men and boys as well. And that's the hard work of She is Safe, is to help change a godless mindset into a God's eye view. And it's happening. The exciting thing is we can go to families and let them know that God gave them their children, every boy, every girl, as a gift to their family to help build up their family and their community and their posterity. That was God's intention. So we kind of connect the dots for them. One reason that you're poor is that you have been selling away your future. These girls would have had great contributions. So if you'll cooperate with us now and just pledge to not sell your daughters, we're going to have a local team here of Christians who are going to help you generate income in a different way. So I would say the majority of families who succumb to the lure of traffickers, it's because, first of all, they already have this low opinion of girls that she's going to be a worthless burden on family resources. She's not going to bring others into the clan. She'll go on to somebody else's clan. And that she will be sickly, and that's because they underfeed her. They generally feed boys instead of girls. They'll give them the protein. So all of these marks against her mean that she's just not a good investment. So she's kept out of school to work, marry, or be sold. So it's self-perpetuating. If you have that low opinion and then you don't feed someone, they're more sickly and less valuable of a contributor. So in the places that we work, it's where 90% of the world's poor reside. So they're on the bare edges of survival. And the majority of the time, traffickers come as friends, as job recruiters. So they convince families, hey, we'll give you more than you can make in a month. They'll, you know, put down $50 for a girl and then promise that $50 will come every month as long as she survives and works. And, of course, the family never sees her again. They're hoping the best. They really hope she'll meet someone and have a good marriage and be able to send money home, all of those things. So, you know, that's why it does require an intervention into these communities. So seeking out those highest-risk communities, making sure that we have teams placed there, and then support and train more local women that can carry on the work.
And Kay, I'll let you answer the next question. And of course, Michelle, you can chime in afterwards, and you could both feel free to interject whenever you'd like to. It might be helpful if you announce who you are when you do, because it may be hard for our listeners to distinguish between the two of you. But Kay, isn't it interesting hearing what Michelle just said? That wherever Christ is absent in the world, we see women and girls being treated with such barbaric behavior. And whereas the stereotype for leftists and feminists here in the United States and North America is that it's the Christian America, the stereotype of your average conservative Christian is that of perpetuating this kind of bigotry against women and having a low view of women. But and yet we hear the facts about the situation globally, where it is in a Christless area, where these women and girls are being more likely to wind up as victims, very possibly be sold into sex slavery and other kinds of chattel slavery, and perhaps wind up dead. This is quite a contradiction to what the leftists and feminists would tend to want to promote in this country, at least.
Yes, yes, that's true. And there are so many things that feed into this. The principles of life, the beliefs of our value come from Christ, come from Scripture. And the details and the facts and the numbers are all important. But what really moves the heart is the stories. And let me just tell you a little bit more on Nima's story that after what Michelle has told you. Nima, when the girls finished going through a recovery time in Nepal with the organization who had rescued them, they were placed back in a village with some sort of a trade that they can do. And one of the things that Nima did is she was knitting hats, those Nepalese hats that were so popular and are popular now. So what Nima wanted to do was go back to her village. And they said, no, don't go back to where your family is. They'll sell you again. Don't go back. But Nima was absolutely insistent, and she did go back. She went back, and her father said, "Don't you expect us to start paying for you for food and for a home?" And she said, no, you don't have to do anything for me." She built her own little lean-to. She sat in front of that lean-to and knitted her hat. And then she took them to the market, and she earned more money selling those hats than her father ever did. But when she came back, she said, "I'm going to split the money with you, Father, for all of the care you gave me when I was little."
Wow.
And every day, she sat in front of her little lean-to, and she knitted those hats, and the women gathered around to see what she was doing, because she was earning money. She was worth something. And so she told them stories from the Bible as she knitted the hats. And the women learned these stories. They learned to knit, and it actually changed that whole village. And it was what Nima did that made the difference. One of the other girls who had been in the recovery program with her was high caste, and she came to visit Nima. And everybody there in the village said, no, you can't have a high caste person in here mixing with us. That's not right. And the friend came. She stayed in Nima's lean-to with her, even ate food off of her plate, and the others just were in disbelief. But the girl said, "In Christ, there is no caste. We are the same in the view of God. Men are not better than us. High caste are not better than us. We are all the same." And again, it changed the whole attitude of that area. We know that Christ's view of women in the Bible days was different from what people believed at the time. And we see that same thing now. But what we need to do is let the world see it in action, see what really happens to individuals when they change their thinking, follow Christ.
Well, praise God.
This is Michelle. I wanted to just piggyback off of that. I think, myself included, lots of Christian women, we know the truth. We know that Christ does lift women and opens up so many wonderful opportunities and, of course, renews our minds about what is possible with the help of heaven. But often we hold back in the public square from really participating. I was at the Luzon Congress, the last one, and I met a woman who works with the United Nations, and she was a believer. And she said, why don't you and your organization and others show up more often at the United Nations? You know, it's as though Christian women are silent, except for maybe things that they're against. Couldn't we show up as a positive force? So She Is Safe has joined in the International Day of the Girl is in October this month, and She Is Safe was founded in October 15 years ago. So we join with 193 nations to urge Christians to get out this month and start sharing the information with our young girls and with other women and men as well, and having a very visible, vocal opportunity to say, well, this is what Christ thinks of women and girls. And we are doing, this last year, She Is Safe was involved in prevention, rescue, restoration of over 80,000 individuals. So that's a tremendous force of light that, of course, doesn't usually get recognition. I think we need to, as Kay said, continue doing the great work, but then let's show up in the public square and do prayer vigils at our city halls and go to the United Nations and to Washington, D.C., in force and be a force of light and good.
I really, really agree with that. This is Kay speaking. I really agree with that because so often, Chris, as you were saying, there's a bad image portrayed of Christian women. But the thing is, so often the ones who speak out are ones who are not speaking out with the love that we should have from Christ. And so we need to be brave. We need to be willing to step out and share. And we need to share these stories so people can see them. That's so important. Thank you, Michelle.
And before I go to a break, Michelle, I understand that you are a part of the She Soars, that's S-O-A-R-S, Women's Conference, which is going to be held Saturday, October 14th, this Saturday, at the Mount Zion Baptist Church in Jonesboro, Georgia. Can you tell us anything about this conference?
Well, yes, I'm very excited to be involved, invited. I will be on platform and then also do a workshop. Patricia Holbrook, who is an Atlanta Journal-Constitution journalist and a committed Christ follower, initiated this conference and started looking and seeking God for the right women to have on platform and do the workshops. And the more we got acquainted, she wrote an article in the AJC about She Is Faith and me. She said, well, I know that you're supposed to be there. So we're talking about the fact that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, to show forth the praises of this wonderful one who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light, and help the average Christian woman look at ways that we can both capture the highs and lows of our journey with Christ and make those a sacrament, if you will, to his glory, and also to reach out to women and girls who are in tough circumstances so that their light can shine too and they can transcend through Christ. So it's going to be a very exciting one-day women's conference here just south of Atlanta, and I believe there's still some room for registration.
Great. Well, I know that for a fact that we have some listeners in Georgia, And I would like to let you know, folks, that, or especially the ladies, of course, that if you'd like to attend this soaring, or She Soars, I should say, women's conference, the website you can go to is soaringwithhim.com/conference. That's S-O-A-R-I-N-G with him.com/conference. And for more details specifically on the location of Mount Zion Baptist Church in Jonesboro, Georgia, you can go to mzbc.org. MZBC for standing for Mount Zion Baptist Church, mzbc.org, and you can find out more details about exactly where they are located and other issues. Well, we're going to our first break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question for both of our guests, Michelle Rickett and K. Marshall Strom, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if you have a personal and private matter that you want to discuss. So that's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back, God willing, with Michelle Rickett and K. Marshall Strom right after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wmg.org/ironsharpens today.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling, at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
And that was the voice of Pastor Bill Shishko, who is the keynote speaker at the upcoming Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. That's Thursday, October 26th. Right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall. And everything is free of charge. If you are a man in ministry, whether you're a pastor, a deacon, or a leader in a parachurch organization, we would love to see you at this men's fellowship gathering, Thursday, October 26th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Not only will Pastor Bill Shishko be our keynote speaker, who also happens to be on the faculty at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina, and the host of the A Visit to the Pastor's Study program that you just heard him announce in his ad, we are also going to be joined by our guest of honor, Stephen Bloom, who is the Pennsylvania State Representative, and he's also a candidate for Congress. Not only are you going to be fed spiritually for free and fed physically for free by Firehouse Subs, every man leaving that building that day after the lunch is over is going to be carrying a very heavy sack of brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. So if you are able to take a train, plane, or automobile, or walk, if you're nearby to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, we would love to see you at this men's fellowship for men in ministry leadership positions. And if you could just email me as soon as you can, with a deadline being on the 23rd of October, please email me to register at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, 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 and please give us your full name and all of your contact information, including the church where you are a member or the parachurch organization that you lead. And we look forward to receiving that information as soon as possible so we can have a head count, an accurate head count for the event. Well, we are now back to our discussion with Michelle Rickett of She Is Safe and author K. Marshall Strom. We are discussing the book Forgotten Girls, Stories of Hope and Courage, and also the general theme of women and girls globally being used by God amid deep pain and suffering. If you'd like to join us with a question for Michelle and Kay, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We have a listener from Albuquerque, New Mexico, Latane. In fact, I'll give you her full name because she is a Christian author. She's also a guest that has been frequently interviewed on my program. And she is a convert from Mormonism into biblical Christianity and author of the a highly acclaimed book, a classic book called The Mormon Mirage. But Latane C. Scott asks, is there ministry, meaning your ministry, Kay and Michelle, is your ministry mainly outside of the United States? When you speak of border towns, are any of those contiguous to the United States, Mexico, for instance?
We actually, from the founding of She Is Safe, knew that we wanted to focus on those busiest human trafficking corridors. And so that puts us from Muslim West Africa throughout the Middle East and down into Sudan and then across Asia. Those are the places that are underserved and least reached with the gospel. We still have that Great Commission focus for She Is Safe. to get the gospel to those who don't have the opportunity to hear it day by day and hopefully transform those communities.
And Kay, you sounded like you were going to say something.
I was just going to say that although what Michelle says is absolutely correct, we do have the opportunity to step outside those boundaries and go to other countries, North Africa, Egypt, a lot of places like that. And we see so many of the same problems and difficulties. But I can't say that any of the ones that are connected to the United States, such as Mexico, have not been in my my realm at all.
Well, thank you, Latane. And
I do a lot.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I do a lot of writing on the global family of God, and so I go to a lot of places that are outside of the specific environs of Shia Seif, because we work all with people on other areas too, but the same types of issues come up again and again and again. The validity of women, why they are of value, how they work to raise their families to become followers of Christ when they are first reached. And so it all fits together well.
And the Reverend Buzz Taylor, yes. My co-host, has a question.
Yes, you've mentioned about the various cultures in which you work. Do you do a lot of work in the realm of organized crime as well? In other words, I understand a culture where they have a very low opinion of women, but there's also organized crime that uses women.
So are you speaking about, or is she working with the local police forces, or what do you mean by that?
Well, I wanted to follow up the question with a question about your personal safety as well, because you're going to these areas. I mean, let's face it, you're invading Satan's territory.
Yeah, so the criminal element is what one of the things that has really grown human trafficking. Many of the cartels that used to focus on drugs are now focusing on the sale of girls, because you can sell a girl again and again, where drugs are just sold once. So they're very organized, very violent and sinister. And there is international interplay. And that's one reason that the United Nations, really spearheaded by the U.S., the Trafficking in Persons Report, which is a report card that comes out every year when these nations have decided to rate themselves on how well they are doing at combating the criminal element as well as preventing abuse and slavery and restoring victims' lives and gaining justice for them. So it's all across the spectrum. It's like a massive puzzle, and every part has to do its part. But the the village that I mentioned to you in Nepal, where every girl has been sold over the age of 12. As soon as she turns 13, she goes into one of the massive brothels of India. In that brothel area, prostitution is legal, but only if one is 18 years or older. And yet the average age when a girl begins is 11 years old. To be a sex slave there, and she will only survive 7 years. But the brothels themselves have 30,000 sex slaves. I mean, massive. We have nothing that compares to that in the United States. That's the backdrop, and of course, it's an economy. Criminals are involved in running all of that. So we love to show up as Christ would, as lovers of the people. So we work with local Indian women who live in the brothel communities there. They have their churches there. They have great reputation. And they offer loving kindness to these girls in the red light district areas. And often girls become sick very early. They have STDs. They are beaten. Some are burned. Some become pregnant. They become drug addicted and malnourished and just worthless to the brothel owner at a certain juncture. And that's the opportunity for local Christian women there to show love, to help navigate these who are sick and wounded and their children, being born to these sex slaves in these brothels. And we are known in the brothel community as that organization that has that safe place for little girls. We last year brought four girls out from ages 4 to 8. And these girls lived in the same room where their mother was servicing men. So they sexualized the girls very early, and many of the madams like to keep them. But if something happens to their mom, it's our opportunity to lobby on behalf of these children and get them out. So that's our particular way of showing up as Christ would, in grace and in love, with a helpful hand. Rather than trying to cowboy in, it's because prostitution is legal there, we would be the lawbreakers if we tried to bust up a brothel of 30,000 people, which we could in any way. But we can be there as lovers of God and lovers of people. And that's our way in these refugee camps and garbage dump communities and red light districts, for the local lovers of Christ to do that. That wonderful work of helping people navigate to freedom and wholeness and new life.
Let me just add a quick word here, too. Even though we talk about the enlightenment of a country where our eyes are more focused on God, we need to be and identify ourselves as Christ followers, not Americans, because American alone is not always a good thing to brag about.
I see that on the news every day.
exactly right. We surely do. And I was once in a brothel in New Delhi interviewing women there. And the brothel owner just stood there listening with his arms folded, listening to everything we said. And finally he said, "Don't think you're any better than us," he said, "you and your country. Because if it were not for pornography in the United States and European men looking for young girls, we would be out of business tomorrow." He said, "You keep us in business." I think that's jarring and convicting.
Yeah, definitely. And by the way, Latane C. Scott, you have won. I think I forgot to mention to you that you have won a free copy of the book we are discussing, Forgotten Girls, Stories of Hope and Courage, by our guests Kay Marshall Strom and Michelle Rickett. And please make sure that we have your full mailing address there in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we'll have that shipped out to you as soon as possible. We have another listener in Shillington, Pennsylvania, Mary with an I. Mary says, "I'd like to know if your guests knew about the Back Pages scandal with the Village Voice. It was a way that the sex traffickers could pimp out these girls, and the paper was going even as far as covering up the soliciting, showing pimps how to word ads to cover up the trafficking. Could they give any insight into the whole case? Because it was a little confusing for me how these guys finally were taken down, and if the parents of the girls were ever compensated for the wrongs done to them." Do you have any knowledge about?
This is Michelle. I am aware of the Backpage scandal, and thankfully there was a sting, and more and more pressure, of course, needs to be put on the internet community, because they really have opened Pandora's box to girls who are, of course, young and naive. I remember hearing recently the head of the Georgia Bureau of Investigations on trafficking, and she said, "You know, you would not believe how easy it is to get a 14-year-old child to fall in love with you on the internet. They're just at an age where they love romance, and they don't know one person from another. They're very naive. So vigilance definitely is in order for our children and the children of our friends and extended family members, because criminals, this is their full-time job. And unfortunately, there are enough perverted people who would take pleasure and gain money off of the suffering of girls and boys as well, and men and women, though it's mostly, most often girls. So the back page story, I don't know as far as following through on if there was any compensation. I know just this last year in the state of Georgia, where I am, we passed a safe harbor amendment to the Georgia Constitution, meaning that a amount of money would be levied against anyone who's prosecuted in trafficking a child or abusing a child. The money would be extracted from them and put into a dedicated fund for aftercare for those child victims. And that's among the first in the nation, if you can believe it. But it's a step in the right direction. So I'm very excited with the good pressure that's being put on these, closing up these gaps for the criminals. If we make it more and more difficult for them with the prosecutions and stings, and then protecting our children, kind of dry up the supply side of things, we really could see the numbers reverse. Every year it's gone up, as far as I could tell when I'm tracking the number of victims and trafficked victims. But we want to see it start going the other direction.
Well, thank you.
And we need to put pressure on our lawmakers to see that laws are passed that allow true punishment and conviction of those who take advantage of young girls. In countries like Sweden, for instance, if someone is arrested who has taken advantage of a girl, their picture is on the front page of the paper, they're given a huge fine, all kinds of things, and their trafficking and abuse of young girls is just a small portion of what ours is. So we need to put pressure on our lawmakers to get serious about this.
Well, thank you, Mary, in Shillington, Pennsylvania. Please make sure that you give us your full mailing address, because you have also won a free copy of the book we are discussing, Forgotten Girls, Stories of Hope and Courage by K. Marshall Strom and Michelle Rickett. I'm sorry. Thank you, or many thanks, I should say, to InterVarsity Press for providing these free books that we have been giving away to listeners writing in with questions. And if you'd like to join us as well on the air when we come back from our break, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, a city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And you may remain anonymous only if your question regards a personal and private matter. And that email address, once again, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be back after these messages with K. Marshall Strom and Michelle Rickett right after these messages from our sponsors.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
Thrive and Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on SermonAudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise, and then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
And don't forget, Pastor Bill Shishko is the keynote speaker at the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon, Thursday, October 26th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's absolutely free of charge. Free food, free hearing of Pastor Bill Shishko's remarkable ministerial gifts, and free books, brand new books, donated by nearly every single major Christian publisher in the United States and the UK. And it's really a no-brainer, especially if you live within a reasonably short drive to Carlisle, Pennsylvania. But we have had pastors come from as far as West Virginia and other places very far away to come to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheons, New York, Illinois, and other places. So we hope that that many of you will join us no matter where you are. Spend the night in a local hotel here if you'd like, we would love to see you Thursday, October 26th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And register by emailing me at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Before I return to our break, or should I say, before I return to our guests, Kay Marshall Strom and Michelle Rickett, who are discussing with us Forgotten Girls, Stories of Hope and Courage, I have some just a few other important announcements to make about special events that are coming up in the very near future. The first one is one I mentioned earlier before. The She Soars Women's Conference is coming up this Saturday, October 14th, and that is being held at the Mount Zion Baptist Church in Jonesboro, Georgia. If you'd like more information about registering for the She Soars Women's Conference, which features one of our guests, Michelle Rickett, on the roster of speakers, go to soaringwithhim.com/conference. That's S-O-A-R-I-N-G withhim.com/conference. And you can get more details on the location by going to the Mount Zion Baptist Church website. That is mzbc.org, MZ for Mount Zion, BC for Baptist Church.org, and Mount Zion Baptist Church, as I said, is located in Jonesboro, Georgia. Coming up in November from the 17th through the 18th, the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is having their Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology at Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. The theme is for Still Our Ancient Foe, a reference to Satan from that classic Reformation hymn by Martin Luther, A Mighty Fortress. And speakers include Kent Hughes, Peter Jones, Tom Nettles, Dennis Cahill, and Scott Oliphant. If you'd like to register for that event, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, click on events, and then click on Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. And then, coming up in January from the 17th through the 20th, the Knowing God, a Biblical Understanding of Discipleship Conference, which is actually titled the G3 Conference, which stands for Grace, Gospel, and Glory. And the theme is Knowing God, a Biblical Understanding of Discipleship this time around. There's a really long roster of speakers there, and they include Stephen Lawson, Vody Balcom, Phil Johnson, Keith Getty, H.B. Charles Jr., Tim Challies, Josh Bice, James White, Tom Askell, Anthony Mathenia, Michael Kruger, David Miller, Paul Tripp, Todd Friel, Derek Thomas, Martha Peace, and Justin Peters. Go to g3conference.com to register. That's g3conference.com. And if you register for any of these events, please make sure you tell the organizations running those events that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And now I have to do that most uncomfortable task of all that I have to do every day. I have to rattle my tin cup and ask you for donations. The advertisers that have kept Iron Sharpens Iron running on the air all this time have finally broken me down and gotten me to make public appeals for donations and new advertisers. They're spending their hard-earned money keeping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air, so I feel compelled to grant their wishes and make these public requests for donations. Now, I want you to always remember, as I try to remember to tell you every day, never, ever, ever siphon money out of the giving to your local church. I never want to have people giving less to the churches where they are a member just because they're giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't do that, and please don't ever take food off of your family's dinner table. But providing for your family and providing for your home are two commands of God. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and home, we would love to receive checks for any amount that you can afford, because we are experiencing very desperate times financially, which is one of the reasons I finally broke down and granted the wishes of my advertisers by making these public appeals, which I hate doing, but they are necessary. If you want to advertise with us, if you love this program, you want it to remain on the air, if it blesses you, then, and you want to advertise with us, we could surely use your advertising dollars. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@ironsharpensironradio.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And put advertising in the subject line. And we will try to work with you on whatever ad campaign that you'd like to develop, whether it's your church, your parachurch organization, your business, your professional practice, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist, a chiropractor, or it's just a special event that you're having. As long as what you're doing does not militate against the theology of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I would love to speak with you about your ad campaign. It doesn't have to be you don't have to be a believer exactly in the same theology as I do. It doesn't have to be lockstep with everything I believe, but it does have to be compatible, and it can't be something that militates against what I believe. So send that email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. We are now back with our discussion with Michelle Rickett, who is president and founder of She Is Safe. And by the way, the website for She Is Safe is sheissafe.org, sheissafe.org. And we also have with us today K. Marshall Strom, author, scriptwriter for TV and film, journalist for various magazines and newspaper op-eds, conference speaker, and co-author with Michelle Rickett of Forgotten Girls, Stories of Hope and Courage. Today we are talking about women and girls globally used by God amid pain and suffering. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question for Michelle and Kay, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And before I go to any of the other listener questions, I wanted to have you clarify a few things. The crime that is predominantly going on here, it seems, is being fueled by pedophiles. Am I right? That these are predominantly very evil men involved in pedophilia that are purchasing these young children, predominantly girls, for sex slavery. Am I right on this?
Well, actually, there is an underbelly, if you will, to sex trafficking. Of course, there's trafficking into all kinds of industries, whether it's agricultural or brick kilns or gravel making. But one of the most heinous, of course, forms of trafficking is the trafficking of persons for sex, and that's 98% female. And each year that I've been involved, we see the trend toward younger and younger girls. So that's definitely a perversion. But I would say there are certain cultural and religious beliefs concerning women and girls that allow for the sexual abuse and slavery of women and girls. I mentioned the massive brothels of northern India, in West Bengal, and Senagachi, those two massive brothel communities. It is in a Muslim area of India, and these are mostly Muslim Indian men who are going to these girls. There is a latitude in Islam about the use of prostitutes, and we tell the story in Forgotten Girls of a girl named Halima in Timbuktu, in Mali. And about a third of the population of Timbuktu is these used and cast off girls and their children who lived in the desert in little huts with no running water, no electricity. Their children were not recognized by the local government because they had no family. But that is called a temporary marriage. So Halima was married to a visiting businessman. There was a religious ceremony. Her parents were there. Garments and animals and money were exchanged for 6 days with this girl. And but it's all endorsed, so it's legitimized. And so that's just a social norm. It's a social practice that is endorsed throughout the community. Of course, the family hopes that she will be such a wonderful wife that she will beat the odds and they'll have a financial windfall for their family through this alliance, and I have never heard of that actually working out. These are temporary prostitution arrangements. There are other places in the world where for centuries, girls have been given as sort of tribute to kings or warriors visiting other camps would just kind of scoop up girls and take them along. So there's something besides the pedophilia angle to this that there is so much sexual abuse of girls and women. I know that pedophilia is probably the most perverse of all, although there are also those who really also love to just harm a child. So it kind of goes even over the edge there. But we have a bigger issue, and my sense is this is the Goliath of our day. Every generation has its Goliath, but this wholesale abuse and exploitation, whether it's sexual or otherwise, of girls and women, it's in our laps, and we are going to answer before God whether we heard and responded to these cries He's allowed us to overhear, or if we're just going to look away and go on with our lives and pretending that everything is all right.
Now, would you say that this turning a a blind eye, if you will, or accepting of prostitution and pedophilia and things like that by Muslims in these countries. It is something that is openly endorsed as a part of their religion, or is it something that everybody just knows that you get away with it and they just don't say anything about it? Where does this really fit in the whole situation with these Muslims?
Well, it is in their sacred writings that these are serious needs for men. So in exchange for clothing, a man can take a temporary person for comfort. So it's not just anecdotal. It really is very much an endorsed part of the worldview. And in some terms, men may think, well, you know, this poor girl, she has no other way to live, and so I'm actually helping her. So you can just see the fingerprints of the enemy all over this.
Right.
You can justify any bad behavior and think that you're actually being benevolent.
And then, of course, if you're a woman caught in adultery, they'll stone you to death. So it's quite a hypocritical
story.
Yeah. I don't know if either of you have seen the movie, 2007 movie, The Kite Runner. But this was a movie that had, as a part of its story, the horrific pedophilia, primarily with young boys in Afghanistan, by even fundamentalist Muslims involved in the Taliban. And quite a horrific thing that goes on there that's readily accepted as just being a normal part of their culture. And, of course, I use that term normal tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, I did.
I read the book, but didn't see the movie. The thing is, that I'm sure is the case, but the big problem is the perceived worthlessness of girls and women. It doesn't matter because they're not of any value anyway. And that's the thing that we have seen in so many ways. It's not really considered abuse if you're talking about somebody or some thing that is worthless. And that, I think, is one of the main issues here is to teach and demonstrate that women and girls are just as valuable in God's sight as men are. We're all valuable. Young girls and women are precious jewels in God's sight. They are not to be used and abused and thrown away. And actually, we have seen situations where this has been demonstrated, how different we see as believers in Christ, we see the value of women and girls, that we've seen entire areas changed because of them being able to see the value of women and girls. And one illustration is a little girl we call Pramila in India. And when she was born, her father dug a hole and buried her alive because he already had a couple of girls. He didn't want another one. The grandfather saw what happened, and he went out and dug the little baby up, not because he cared about a girl, but because he was afraid that her spirit would haunt him and he would never have a good night's sleep. So he took her and dropped her at the steps of a clinic, and the person who was in charge of the clinic said, oh, another girl, and called the workers, Christian workers, at a boys' orphanage and said, we have a little girl here. Her mouth and nose are full of dirt. If you want her, come and get her or she'll be dead. And they hurried over and got her. This little girl lived the first few years of her life at this boys' orphanage, and she was so, so adored and treated so well. The neighbors watched over the fence and they said, why are you doing this? She's just a girl. Why are you taking care of her? And they said, because she is a precious jewel in God's crown. And they saw how this little girl changed the spirit of that community. And in that area, there has not been another recorded instance of burying a child alive, a little girl alive, because of the witness of these Christians who took in the little girl. And I think that's what we need to do, is show through our witness, through our actions, through ourselves, how precious the life of a little girl is.
Amen. We do have some more listeners. We have Susan in Scottsville, Kentucky. She asks, how do we help in preventing and ultimately ending this abuse?
Well, this is Michelle. My preference is that we would focus the majority of our efforts on prevention. And law enforcement, especially in the United States, I mean, they really don't want us doing their job of trying to step in with perpetrators, but they would like our help. They would love it if churches would come forward with families who are prepared to take kids who are caught up in a prostitution sweep. The number one problem for law enforcement in the Atlanta area is there are not enough places to place girls who are rescued and get them the therapeutic care that they need. So so the prevention side of things. And for She Is Safe, our best investment, we feel, is in equipping girls and women and vulnerable families to have some kind of income, since the major driver, besides the low opinion of women and girls, is poverty. So let's step in and make women and girls far less financially vulnerable. And then what we're actually doing is winning by demonstration. As Kay said, you want to show that girls are valuable. So when we go into a village that's used to selling girls, we bring all the families together and we offer this help to generate income a different way. Maybe out of 300 families, only 50 families will agree. But all the rest of the families are watching on. And so as they start seeing, oh, wow, they didn't have the heartache of missing their daughter. They actually, all the kids are being sent to school now, and they seem to be doing well in their marriage. So when it cycles back around the next year, when we, say, have the GOAT program or agricultural program, whatever it is, more families are eager to line up and join in. And then we start getting involved in, through the women, getting the message out to all the families. Number one, that God knows you're suffering without your girls. He gave them to you as a gift, and you need them. That's most important. But secondly, that girls and women, according to the World Bank study, will reinvest 90% of what they earn back into their families and communities. Unlike men, it's in these countries, it's about 34%. So it's not only good to do, it's very smart, it's very strategic. And the girls themselves will be there when you're ready to have someone marry into your family. But another extremely important asset that we bring along is the fact that it is illegal now in virtually every country of the world to sell another human being. So these communities may have sold people in the past. We let them know, hey, this is a new day, and everyone can have a hotline number. So you need to inform your neighbors that this is now illegal, and there are people in jail for participating. You should consider other alternatives rather than getting involved with these criminals. So it puts everybody on notice. This last year, we had the privilege of getting into all of the schools in one district in Indonesia, into every school, elementary school, with 68,000 children learning 10 tips to safety, practicing that with their teachers, and taking that information home to their children or to their parents, along with a hotline number.
One thing I wanted to clarify.
Yes.
Go ahead, Kay.
Oh, I was just going to say, I really agree with what Michelle is saying. One of the main important, absolutely important things is raising awareness so that people know. A lot of people are just not aware of what a problem this is. And the other thing in this country, emphasizing being willing to open Christian homes to children who have been abused in many different ways. I was raised, my parents kept teenage and young foster children who had been abused. And I was raised with that. And the difference that the modeling of a functional family can make is just all the difference in the world, especially a functioning family that is that bases their family structure on Christ.
One of the things I wanted to have you clarify was the fact that you were talking earlier about a pimp who was saying that without Americans he would be out of business. I'm assuming that Americans, but although I'm not so sure about those in other parts of the world who are involved in purchasing young girls or young children in general for sex slavery, I'm assuming that Americans are doing this as tourists and not bringing these children back home, where I'm not so certain about other countries, though, if you could tell us about that.
Yes, Americans, there is sex tourism that revolves around young girls and so forth. Other countries have much more of that sex tourism. But what this specific Malin was talking to me about was the young girls who are in the brothel and then are used to make pornographic films. It's the pornography that is so gripping our country. But the girls are abused in order to make this pornography.
Wow.
So that's one of the things that keeps them enslaved.
Wow, this is so horrible. We're going to our final break right now, and we do have several people still waiting to have their questions asked and answered. If anybody else wants to get in line, now is the time to do it, because we are rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Only remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter over which you are asking. Don't go away. God willing, we will be right back after these messages with K. Marshall Strom and Michelle Rickett with more of our discussion on forgotten girls. Please don't go away.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries.
90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org. hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689. 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget about the 50% off sale at cvbbs.com on all Reformed expository commentaries in hardback, including the new one by Richard D. Phillips on the Book of Revelation. So go to cvbbs.com, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com. And ask about the 50% off sale on Reformed expository commentaries in hardback, including the new commentary on Revelation by Richard D. Phillips. Also, if you could, please go to solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com, one of our faithful advertisers here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and do some of your holiday shopping right now, at least after the program, with Christmas coming up, but we'll be here before you know it. Please consider solid-ground-books.com for many of your Christmas shopping needs, along with our friends at cvbbs.com. Solid Ground Christian Books has informed us that they are in a very serious sales slump right now. And if you want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to continue broadcasting, since solid-ground-books.com is one of our major sponsors, I would urge you to please consider doing some Christmas shopping there, or any other kind of shopping that you would like to do. Perhaps start making it a tradition in your home for Reformation Day, which is October 31st. Instead of celebrating Halloween, have your family celebrate Reformation Day and give them presents that will guide them to the gospel of the Reformation, which, of course, we here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio believe is the gospel of the Scriptures and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com after the program is over, and please order as many books as you can afford so we can help Solid Ground Christian Books out of their financial slump. I really would appreciate that very, very much. We are back now with our final 25 minutes or so with Michelle Rickett of She Is Safe and K. Marshall Strom, her co-author of the book Forgotten Girls, Stories of Hope and Courage. If you'd like to join us on the air before we run out of time, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And we have Kim in Slovenia who has a question. And Kim says, thank you for having these ladies on your program today and raising our awareness of this issue. Recognizing that the majority of the women and girls who are trafficked are from economically depressed and poor areas, what is the prevalence of this problem throughout more prosperous countries, including Europe? Are we, as Westerners, simply unwilling to admit that this problem is closer to home than we think? Thank you for helping us to be aware of the plight of these women and girls around the world. If you could answer each of you Kim in Slovenia's question.
Well, thank you, Kim, for asking that important question. Yes, of course, we have a huge problem in our own society, in Western society, as our nation drifts farther and farther away from Judeo-Christian values, and our own children are growing up hearing that their only value is their physical appearance or their sexuality. However, if we look at that trafficking in persons map, it documents where these abuses are most prevalent, and without a question, it is in those places that are deeply impoverished and least reached with the gospel. So, and I can see God's hand in this. You know, we become fired up on the issues, and we want to just run out like crazy and start rescuing people. And yet he reminds us, I want to show you where these people are, and combine that with the good news of Jesus Christ for all the people who are living there. The men and the boys as well are suffering under not only the abuse and sale of women and girls, but all kinds of unnecessary pains because they are not living according to the gospel truth. And of course, in our own countries, to the degree that we walk away from that, we suffer also in our society. But it is, as I said early on, a question of degrees. You can Google and look up the Trafficking in Persons report, and it will show you on a map which countries have more slaves than any other. The country of India has about 14 to 20 million of the 30 to 45 million slaves in the world. So it's the country that has more slaves than any other, closely followed by China and Indonesia, places in the Middle East and Africa where this is widely practiced.
And by the way, I have another... Go ahead, Kay.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to... Okay. This is Kay. I was just going to add to that the reasons for trafficking in this country tend to be different, too. It's not because in some countries, people will say, if I don't sell one girl, the rest of the family will never be able to eat because we don't have anything. That's not the situation here. More often, the situation of trafficking comes about because of runaway girls who have run away from home, who are living on the streets. There are certain areas like the Highway 5 corridor up through California and Oregon that is a hotbed of this type of thing. And so we do have that here, and we do have trafficking coming in from Mexico. But, as Michelle said, it's not nearly the same scope, and it's not the same issues. It needs a different hand. But certainly, the value of women in God's eyes and the teachings of Christ are the center of the answer here.
Amen. By the way, I wanted to recommend another movie that you both may have seen. Maybe you haven't, but it's called Lion, L-I-O-N. Have you seen that?
Yes. I have not.
Yeah, Lion is about, it's a true story about a little boy who was somehow separated from his brother and got onto a train. This is in India. I believe it took place in the 1980s, could have been the 1970s, but he got on a train and wound up in a place far, far away from his home. And it shows how he was escaping, it seems, continually, people trying to kidnap or seduce the boy into some kind of sexual slavery. And, of course, when I say seduce, by just showing love to him as if they were going to treat him like loving parents or something. But he finally was reunited with his mother as an adult, but it was quite a moving movie.
But yeah. It does remind me, you know, the those who are vulnerable, I would say, whether it's in the United States or overseas, there are all kinds of reasons for vulnerability. And in the U.S., the most vulnerable person, Kate alluded to, is the runaway teen. Kids are generally fleeing some kind of abuse at home or in a bad situation, and they're naive, and they think, well, I'll live under a bridge for a night. I'll get myself a job and an apartment. But they don't really know how long it takes to get oneself situated in adult life. And within 2 days, they will be contacted by a recruiter or a trafficker. That's from all the research of trafficked kids in the United States. The second most vulnerable person in the U.S. is a foreign national, someone who's come here thinking they're going to be a nanny, and when they arrive, their identity papers are taken from them, and they're told that they're now criminal and that they owe their keeper for their transportation and housing and food, and it's thousands and thousands of dollars. And so in those kind of cases, those people may be in plain sight. They may work at a nail salon, and they're just very quiet. And so looking for those indicators that someone is not free to speak for themselves or to go outside, or if they talk about being kept against their will, I mean, that's what the average citizen in the United States can do, is to begin to keep our eyes wide open and to be willing to be a little uncomfortable and reach out to authorities on anything that looks suspicious. There is a trafficking in persons hotline number that I'm trying to look it up right now as we speak.
While you're looking that up, I'll just announce our email address again. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com if you have a question before we run out of time. And while I believe it was Kay who was looking up the hotline number, I'm not 100% sure, but I think I'm getting pretty good at identifying their voices. Was I right? Was that Kay looking that up?
Yeah, this is Michelle. No. I have that hotline.
Oh, I was wrong this time.
That's okay. 888-373-7888. And you can give an anonymous tip. Just say something doesn't look right here. I wish someone would look into it. That's also a great number to slip to someone if you think, you know, they might need some help. There are so many things that we can do, small and great, that can help keep people safer and also make a difference for those who are already enslaved.
So this hotline again, this number is 888-373-7888.
That's right.
888-373-7888. And do you know the specific name of this hotline?
Yes, it's the Polaris Project Hotline.
And that's P-O-L-A-R-I-S?
That's right.
And what can you tell us about the Polaris Project?
Well, Polaris was started to, first of all, do the research on understanding the scope of human trafficking and what makes people vulnerable to trafficking, both in the United States, mostly in the United States, though they also have branched out to look at some other information. So they have a map online where they can show you trafficking cases that are in your state. So they have a red hot dot on the map to show. So we can look at our own country and communities and see where are there more cases than any other place. And that, of course, is helpful to mostly to law enforcement. So Polaris has done a great service of bringing the data, the information, and then this hotline number.
Great, and that's 888-373-7888. I'm sorry, go ahead. Hello?
I was just going to add that it's never a mistake to call this number if you're suspicious, because it doesn't come back on you. You are not in trouble. You're not getting any innocent person in trouble, but you could be saving a life.
Amen. And we have Christina in Asante, Minnesota, who says, as someone with a heart longing for broken women to discover their beautiful identity in their maker, I have found occasionally my own insecurities will rise up and hinder my ability to properly, selflessly, and lovingly mentor and encourage. In your years of experience, have you dealt with having to fight your own battle while walking alongside these women? If so, how did you go about releasing your own self-issues? Or have you found yourself healing and realizing your father's heart for you right along with them? Thank you for your ministries.
I'll let Michelle answer this question, but let me just say, first of all, that for me, it's always a battle. It's always a battle. It's never, never easy. And to have an organization that you can look to and ask questions and to get help from, it just makes all the difference in the world. Michelle, you go ahead.
Well, I would say I am one of those broken girls. I was rescued from the home of a pedophile when I was a teen. And so I carried a lot of that baggage into my new faith. And even after God really shook me by the shoulders by seeing these girls where we lived in Africa, I was reluctant to step out. It took a lot of encouragement, not only from the Lord, but from other people, people like Kay, who said, Michelle, you need to launch out on this vision, and I'll help you. And Kay and others not only traveled with me and encouraged me, but joined the board of directors and made it happen. So it's the kindness of God, you know, as we're shaking off issues that we have carried with us from our own brokenness, and in a way that never stops. We are always dropping weight, and I have been so blessed to learn not only from co-laborers like Kay, but from the girls and women that we deal with overseas, as I see their courage, and they overcome so much more than I have overcome. It that's part of the joy, actually. And I would say it was not until I began to really trust God and say, okay, God, I guess if you want me to do this, you will provide for me. You'll provide the people I need, the resources. You'll open the doors for this. And I just need to ignore my feelings of fear and count on you to do what you have promised to do, not for me, but for these other girls and women. And once I was able to do that, it becomes tremendously empowering because the enemy can't hurt me anymore. I'm not trying to hide the bad news about my past. And this is part of my message at the She Soars conference, is the very things that the enemy meant to destroy you with is what God may want to use as a platform for ministry, not, and he will glorify himself in these other people that he has you to minister to, but he will also do a wonderful transforming work in your own life that you couldn't experience in any other way than kind of stepping out in faith.
Well, Michelle, I already know that I want you back to give that testimony of how you were rescued from the home of a pedophile as a teenager. That sounds like a pretty powerful story. If you could summarize right now exactly what happened.
Well, I had been suffering from my very earliest memories, and when I was about 12 years old, I told my mother, I begged her to protect me, and she fled. She took my older sister and disappeared from my life for about 15 years. And then things got really bad in my home. And I had a friend at school, and she was worried about me because I didn't have a mom.
And who was actually the adult?
Who
was the adult that your mother left you with? Or did she leave you with an adult at the time?
It was my dad. So my friend at school plied me with questions, and when I told her just a little of something that was going on, she said, you know, that's illegal. He can't do that to you, and we got to get you out of there. And she was a child. I didn't think she could do anything. But she told her mother. Her mom called the school. Department of Family and Children's Services took me, but the amazing thing from there is that I was placed with a Christian family, and that gave me, as Kay said, a glimpse of normalcy from the inside of what a Christ-centered family could be like, and hope that, you know, I didn't have to live the way that my parents live. I could have a whole new life. Heaven was on my side.
I praise God for that. Well, I'd like each of you to have about 2 minutes to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners before we run out of time here. And if we could start with Kay this time, give us 2 minutes. And then, of course, Michelle, after she's finished, give us 2 minutes of a summary of what you most want our listeners to remember today.
I most want our listeners to remember that this is not a problem that has no solution. We have a mighty God, and we have a God who wants to change this type of a situation, and he's going to do it through us. What I want people to know and remember is that every one of us has a part to play in fighting this plague. It may be opening your home to a person like Michelle or like my parents did. It may be writing. It may be speaking. It may just be being aware and watching. But there is a place for each of us to play a part in mending this horrible wound that is afflicting our world. Prayer is an important part of it. In the book, Forgotten Girls, we give ideas of what people can actually do. Because so often, if we are told, this is the problem, all we do is feel more guilty than ever because there's nothing we can do about it. But there are things to do. And so I would encourage people to look at that list, see prayer ideas, the actual things to be done to help to bring this plight to an end.
Great. And now, Michelle?
Well, of course, I'm really big on mobilization. Yes, God is able, and he does his great work by mobilizing his people to pray and take action. So we have action steps that people can take on our website. Go to sheisfaith.org and click on the Engage page, and there you can sign up and say, yes, I want to become a She Is Safe champion for these girls. You sign up, and then we will start sending you information that you can take action on, everything from something very small. You can push out information on how people can follow our 11 points to prayer on October 11th for International Day of the Girl, or you can organize a prayer vigil or a walk, or come and tour the She Is Safe offices where we kind of look under the hood of prevention, rescue, and restoration. So sign up, share, and then support. It does take support. If we rescue a girl who's 4 years old, we're committed to her until she's 18, and that means her daily care, a place to live, medical supplies, school fees, everything that a child needs. So these things are not impossible. They are very affordable, and we have courageous co-workers here and overseas in these very difficult places day by day. But it does require our support in prayer and financially.
Well, that website again is sheissafe.org, sheissafe.org. And, of course, the conference that we were mentioning where Michelle Rickett is going to be one of a number of sponsors. That's the She Soars Women's Conference this Saturday, October 14th, and that's going to be held at the Mount Zion Baptist Church in Jonesboro, Georgia. The website for the conference is soaringwithhim.com, S-O-A-R-I-N-G, withhim.com, /conference. The website for the church where it is being held is mzbc.org. That's MZ for Mount Zion, BC for Baptist Church, .org. And again, that's Mount Zion Baptist Church in Jonesboro, Georgia. The hotline number that we mentioned earlier for Polaris Project, if you happen to be a witness to something that you suspect may be something underhanded in regard to children, perhaps the sexual abuse of a child or some kind of thing going on that might be connected to sex trafficking or whatever that might be that may bring harm to a child. The Polaris Project hotline number is 888-373-7888, 888-373-7888. And by the way, Krista in Asante, or Christina, I should say, in Asante, Minnesota, you have also won Forgotten Girls, Stories of Hope and Courage, thanks to our friends at InterVarsity Press. And please make sure we have your full mailing address so Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service can ship that out to you. That's CV, or Cumberland Valley BBS for BibleBookService.com. And you can also purchase this book from CVBBS.com if you haven't won one, or if you've won one and you just want to give some more away, go to CVBBS.com. Okay, Marshall Strom, do you have any contact information that you share, that you care to give?
My contact is is taystrom.com. That's my email address. And my blog and website is kaystrom.com.
Kaystrom.com is the website for Kaystrom. That's K-A-Y-S-T-R-O-M. Well, thank you so much, Kay, Marshall Strom, and Michelle Rickett for being my guest today. I look forward to having you back on the program at some point in the future. And Michelle, let's also make it a point to have an interview about your own testimony about how you were rescued from the clutches of a pedophile, unfortunately your own father. And we could go into that story in more detail at some point in the future. I want to thank my co-host, Reverend Buzz Taylor, for being in the studio with me today. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.